Man, it's so good to be here. It's good to be back. I said this earlier. I don't feel like a guest. I think that's kind of like worn off now. You can only like play that card a few times. Now we're family, so you got to deal with me, okay? So my name's Aaron, and it's just an honor to be here. I want to take a moment and welcome anyone joining us online on the other side of the screen. We're so glad that you decided to click in today. I would just say this to you real quick. If you're ever in the area, please stop by this church. And I want to say this to the rest of us today. If I lived here, this would totally be my jam. This would be my church. Like, this would be my place. And I would love to be under the leadership here, and I would love to just be in this family with you guys. I absolutely love this, and we've been here several times. If you don't know me, my name is Aaron. I have a beautiful wife that's here today. She's back at the Zero table after service today where we're selling jewelry, like way overpriced jewelry, by the way. So like a necklace, like $40, it's not worth $40. Can I just say that to you? But the $40 goes to make a difference in Cambodia. What those necklaces actually do is help rescue sex people in the sex slave trade. So yeah, you could clap for that. That's pretty cool. So the necklace isn't worth $40, but the impact is way more. It's worth way more than $40. And so make sure. And we're running out. First service kind of drained us out there, which was really cool. And want to make sure that you have a chance to grab some Zero jewelry. I'm sporting mine. I got that, and I got the little ring here. Boom, zero tolerance. All right. Cool. Super cool to be with you guys. I want to take a minute and just give some honor where I believe honor is due. And I want to lift up your pastors. I want to, let's give a wild, incredible applause for Jeff and Carrie, because we love them. We appreciate them. They're amazing. You're lucky to have them. You're lucky to have them. Sometimes I wish I could take someone like you and put you in a different place somewhere else so that you could go, oh yeah, like they're amazing, right? Okay, and I also want to say this. Sometimes I think that about my church too, so judge me if you want to. It's fine. I also wanted to say this. I was here for this past weekend. We were leading worship, and my wife spoke at the women's conference. Matt and Bonnie Green are a special gift to this church, and Bonnie and her team nailed it this weekend. And so let's give them a hand. Great job. So good. There were like 200 women here. That's awesome. There were like 200 women here at the women's conference, and that's pretty amazing, right? Like, you think about central Wisconsin, okay, and this could be true about where I live, 200 women gathering together on a Friday and a Saturday to go deeper into the Word of God and to embrace, their theme was embrace the adventure. That's a big deal. And can I just tell you, some of the guys here, if your wife will truly embrace the adventure, you're in for a whole new life. And I would recommend to you, men, if your wife came home a little bit pumped and a little bit, hey, you know, I think I'm supposed to do this, and hey, I think we might have to, like, go with it. Like, pray about it and then go with it. Like, go with her on the adventure, because it will be worth it. So I'm just telling you guys, like, one dude to another dude, like, be on team adventure with your wife. It will be good. Okay. They mean a lot of things, but we're in church. Okay. So, like I said, I got a wife. Her name's Bobby. I got two little kids. Parker's my son. He's 7. I got a little girl. She's 9. I said this at the men's conference. Say this all the time. I'll probably end up doing jail ministry because of her. She's amazing. They're just two little world changers. I've got a big 125-pound Rottweiler who wants to eat the mailman every day. And so this is like my life, right? We're pastoring a church over in Marinette and Crivitz, Wisconsin. We're in a building project, so we're just getting to the end of it. We bought a Harley Davidson dealership, and we're renovating the whole thing, and it's a multi-million dollar deal. And so if you look into my eyes and there's a sense of desperation, like, all right, well, it's okay, just pray for me. It's good. It'll help explain why I'm talking about the stuff I'm talking about today, because I'm kind of preaching to me too. And so hopefully we'll all have a chance to get something out of it. Here's what I want to do real quick. I want to invite you over the next 35 minutes or so. I know this is like the 10:30, so you guys have had plenty of time. Some people came in with coffee, and they're like, you guys are all like jacked up, and that's cool, that's awesome. I want to invite you for the next 35 minutes. I also want to say hey to the Urbans, man. They're awesome. Aren't they great? We love you guys, man. They hosted us. They hosted us, and I kind of want to live with them. But anyway, for the next 35 minutes, I want to just invite you to like lean in and participate, okay? You're not going to scare me if you yell something back at me. It's okay. Like, I've just noticed, like, you cry if you need to, laugh if you need to, boo me if you need to. That's, like, up to you, okay? Throw something at me if that helps you. I'll probably dodge it. I literally, one time, someone attacked me on the stage, and we don't have time for that story. I know that, like, first service sort of leaned in, like, what? I'm not going to tell you that story. We can talk about it after. If you ask me, I'd be happy to tell you. I literally was attacked on stage. It was epic. It was amazing. That's called being a little too engaged, okay? By the way, just so everyone's aware. But here's what I've noticed. When you engage verbally in a talk like this, when you come and you don't just kind of sit in a seat and just go, all right, like, bring it, like, what's going on? But if you engage your heart and if you actually engage vocally, you're able to retain a lot more. And it just sticks with you a little bit better. So I want to invite you in for that because it's not going to do anything for me. It's just going to help you. So I want to help you with that as well. There you go. Preach it. I believe that, and you can kind of sense it, especially in this room today, I believe that there's a hunger rising up. I believe in 2017, there is just, and I look in other pastors and other leaders' eyes, and it's like this universal feeling that's sort of taking place, that there is like a hunger rising up in the church of God and in leadership, in the Jesus-believing, Bible-believing church. There's an anticipation that's rising. There's something that's bubbling up on the inside of us going, what could God maybe possibly do here in Rapids and Port Edwards? What might his plan be for this next season of our lives together, right? You're coming together as one campus today, and it's a new season filled with excitement, filled with wonder, filled with what's next? What could possibly be next? And I just need you to know God is up to something great. He's up to something great. So we want to talk about embracing the adventure, okay? So we're going to continue. For the guys, you're kind of coming in on the tail end of the women's conference. And so what they did, they talked about embracing this adventure, saying yes to God, and what kind of adventure should I take, and what might he ask me to risk, and is the risk worth it, and what am I supposed to do? What does he want? And last night, before they left, I watched a whole bunch of the women basically were going, yes, God. Before you even ask me, yes, God. And so we want to stick with that theme this morning, and I want to give you some tools. What I'd like to talk to you about today is this idea of embracing the adventure. Go on the adventure that God has for you, but on that adventure, you're going to need something. You're going to need endurance. You're going to need perseverance. You're going to need a sense of faithfulness. So that's where we're going today. That's what I want to talk to you about. I was 22 years old, just a little background real quick. I was 22 years old when, after running away from God, running as hard and as fast as I could. I grew up in church, and by the time I was 22, I had ran so far and so fast, and I'd got myself in all kinds of mess, and I did my life my own way up till that point. But then at age 22, God sort of like broke in, peeled back the curtain a little bit and went, hey, buddy, I love you, and I've got grace for you. I got mercy for you. I got freedom from sin for you. I've got forgiveness available to you. I've got this life for you that I've planned for you long before you were ever born. I've got purposes for you. I've got a mission for you. I want you to carry out this message that I have for the world, but first, you need to receive it. I'm going, whoa. And it was pretty direct, right towards me. And there was a day that I finally decided to bend my knee before it was too late and to allow him to pour out his grace, to pour out his freedom, to pour out his forgiveness, to pour out all this brand new life stuff that I was going to receive. And part of what that meant was that I was going to come underneath his authority. And I was going to decide, hey, it's not going to be my way all the time and whatever I want. It's just going to be, yes, God, whatever you want all the time. And that's just going to be a habit. Like, God, whatever it is, yes. Whatever the adventure is, yes. Whatever you're asking for, yes. Whatever the sacrifice is, yes. And it's been the greatest decision of a lifetime to be able to go, God, you are truly Lord. And it was so cool. Bonnie talked about this on Friday night. Not just Savior. Savior is awesome. Savior is great. Jesus is my Savior, and he saves me from sin. He saves me from hell, and he saves me from myself. But he is Lord and Savior, which means he's the boss and he's driving the car and I'm a passenger in this great adventure that he's taking me on. And it truly is a great, great adventure. By the way, if you're here for the first time and you're going, what is all this? This whole adventure stuff is all available to you. You read the Word of God and you spend a little bit of time around here. You read the Bible, talk to some people around here, and you'll start to discover there is a real and amazing adventure waiting for you if you will follow Christ. See, I believe that God is interested in not just building, you know, a happy church, a nice church, with a nice building, with a bunch of nice people, in a nice community, and that we're all nice and it's just great. And all that stuff is great, and that we would gather together and sing nice songs and shake nice hands, and all of that's awesome. You got to do all that stuff. It's important. But I think God is actually interested in building something a little bit more, building something bigger, broader, more effective. I think that God, and I've heard your pastor talk about this several times this weekend, and I completely agree with him. I think that God is busy building a movement here at your church. A movement, by the way, that's going to change the spiritual landscape of Wisconsin Rapids. It's going to change the spiritual landscape of Port Edwards. And you, if you choose to, can be a part of that. That's intense, and that's awesome, and it's amazing. And it's really, really good, and it's really, really hard. It's really, really awesome, and there's a lot of stories that are going to come with it, and there's a lot of excitement that's going to come with it, and you're going to get to be the people who stand there at the baptism that someone looks at you and goes, it's because of so-and-so, and they told me, and they picked me up, and they brought me, and they loved me, and they didn't just expect me to come to a church. They were the church, and now it's because of them I found Jesus. And you get to be a part of that story if you choose to be, which is the amazing part. But then there's this whole other part that it's really difficult sometimes. It's a journey. It's an adventure. So I think the adventure is completely worth it. And so at age 22, Jesus became the hero of my story, the hero. Life became all about him, all about carrying out his message and living for his mission and living for his movement on the earth. And now, it's the honor of a lifetime to be able to try to carry this hope and this life that he has dropped into my heart so that we can tell the world. It's this incredible responsibility that we have as believers, if that's who you are, that we're carriers of the grace of God. We're carriers of the freedom. We're carriers of this forgiveness that he's given us. We're carriers of his message. And so here's what Romans chapter 10 says. Romans chapter 10 says this in verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We could stop there, just talk about that, pray, slap five, and be like, yes, God's amazing. Everyone, think about that word, everyone. If you're here and you doubt it, if you're here and what Bonnie said about you being here is true, that you're going, I shouldn't be here. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know where I've been, you don't know what I've done, and you don't know where I've been, and you don't know what I've done. But if God can rescue me, he can rescue anyone and everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then? Can they call on the one they have not believed in? How then, how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? Then it says this, as it is written. I was reading this a couple months ago, and God just, it was like he was just in my space, right? You ever had that moment where God's like in your space, and you're going, whoa, okay, hold on. It says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. And that little phrase, as it is written, caught my attention. Because this is one of those verses that pastors get together and then we give papers to people and go, hey, you're going to be in the ministry. That's awesome. Full-time ministry. And then we say these words to each other. How beautiful are the feet of those that carry the good news. And then we cheer and it's like, yes, go do it. And we pray over people and it's awesome. It's like a ministry verse. But can I just tell you a little secret? Like, don't let the word out too far, but if you've received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you, congratulations, are now in full-time ministry. You are in full-time ministry, just like I'm in full-time ministry. Pastor Jeff is in full, you're probably not going to collect a paycheck from the church, so just deal with that, but you're in full-time ministry. Jeff's like, thank you for saying that, by the way. You're in full-time ministry because you're carrying the message of Jesus, that when people bump up against you, oh man, I think it's God's hope that they'll bump up to the Jesus inside of you. And it says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet. So it's an awesome verse, but I started thinking, well, where was it written? Let's go back and see where it was written. It's actually Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. And here's what it says. Because I went back and I'm going, all right, let's check it out. And it's a little bit different. And it threw me for a loop. It says, how beautiful on the mountain. Did you catch that? How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those that bring the good news. On the mountains, I'm going, well, in Romans, Paul, how come you didn't write on the mountains? Because that thing on the mountains is sort of a big deal. Because if you've been in ministry even more than a week, you're going to understand the mountain of ministry. Remember, we're all in ministry if you've received Jesus as your Savior. So, welcome to mountain climbing. Has anyone here ever been mountain climbing? Can I see a show of hands? Are you there? Okay, mountain climbers. Mountain climbers unite. I am not one of you, okay? I'm not. But I decided to try to be a couple years ago. So some friends of mine, you know, hey, let's go out to Colorado. Now listen, if you're not a mountain climber, you have no business climbing anything in Colorado. But they took me, and I was like, all right, cool, let's go. And we stayed in this nice little cabin on the side of a mountain. It was beautiful, amazing. This I like literally fed a mule deer out of my hand, like a wild one. We actually invited it into the house. That's a whole nother story. It didn't come in. You don't have to call anybody, but, you know, it was fun. But then they're like, hey, what are we going to do? We're going to get some snowshoes, and then we're just going to pick a peak. It's pick a peak day, and we're going to climb it. What are you talking about? Pick a peak. How about we pick breakfast and we just stay here and read books and stuff and like talk to it. Let's just stay in the cabin. This is nice. There's a hot tub over here. Let's just hang out. No. There's a peak over there. Yeah, but there's snow on the peak. Like there's, that's tall. That's far. Yeah. We're going to go climb that. So we go and we get some snowshoes and we start our climb. I'm going, what are we doing? And so we start climbing, and we're 5,000 feet, 6,000 feet, and you might think I look in shape. It is a smokescreen. Like, it is a hoax. I am not in shape at all. And I'm up the mountain, and I'm looking at my friends, and they're just doing the thing, and they're hiking, and they're climbing, and I'm just, this is fun. You know, this is fun, guys. This is great. You guys just keep going. But I'm thankful that I kept going, and they came back for me, and they're helping me, you know. Whatever. We made it to some places where no one else went. Like, when you start getting high enough that you're not seeing anyone else, you know you're going, okay, now we're climbing. Like, now we're actually climbing, and there's no one around. And the fact that we got that far meant that we saw some things no one else got to see that day. It was pretty awesome. But I was there, and I was gassed. I was spent. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever just completely felt exhausted? Have you ever reached a point in your life where you have just felt like, I have given it all? I am spent. I'm cashed. I can't give another dime to this thing. I can't serve another day at this thing. I don't want to get up and I don't want to go to work. I don't want to participate anymore. I just need to stop the car. I got it. I'm just like done. Have you ever been to that place where you just feel done? I've been to that place a few times. Like I said, we've been doing church stuff and planting a church, and it's been like the grind, 10 years. And the last 2.5 years have just simply been building and building and building and numbers and building and people and numbers and building and people and numbers and building. I'm like, God, I don't know if I can give again. I don't know if I can go again. I don't know if I can be there again. I don't know if I can meet again. I don't know if I can preach again. I don't know if I can climb anymore. And there's just something about God that goes, no, you can go again. You can go again. Just do another step and then another step. And then let's just do maybe another step. There's this interesting thing that's called a second wind. It's like a phenomenon, right? Like, how many of you are runners? Anyone a runner? This was fun to ask in the 8:30 because I don't think there was one hand up. They're like, no, we're not runners. This is awesome. I'm not either, clearly. Like, I told you I don't climb mountains. I don't run either. By the way, if I start running, you all better start running. That's just the rule of thumb, okay? If I run, follow me, because there's danger. I'm not a runner at all, but so I've heard, okay? There's this thing called a second wind. Like, runners will run, and they'll be running for miles and miles. I don't understand, like 8, 9, whatever. And then all of a sudden, they reach a runner's wall, right? They've told me. They reach the runner's wall, and it's like, I don't know if I can keep going. But here's the trick. If they've learned, if you just keep putting another foot in front of the other one, if you just kind of keep going, you can even slow down a little bit, but as long as you keep going, eventually there's this thing that happens, and it's called a second wind. It's almost like this new life rises up inside of you. It's almost like you've got this new energy and vibrancy, and then now all of a sudden they pick up the pace, and they start running again. It's a beautiful thing. I wonder if you need a second wind in your life today. Because before you call it quits on something that maybe God wants you to do, understand this. Enthusiasm is common. Endurance is rare. This weekend, we spent a lot of time getting a little bit enthusiastic with the ladies about embrace the adventure. And I would say, yes, I would be all about that. If I could sit personally with each one of you and just look you in the face, I'd go, please take the adventure. It's so worth it. So worth it. And we can get all excited and all inspired. But what you need to know is enthusiasm is pretty common, actually. You get excited about a lot of stuff. You can get excited about NASCAR this afternoon. But endurance is more rare. Who will actually have endurance? Endurance is the ability or strength to continue or to last, especially despite fatigue, stress, or adverse conditions. Endurance, it's a beautiful thing. Another thing I would say to you is, especially coming off of this conference and being excited, passion is pretty common. You can get passionate about all the right stuff. You can get passionate about all the wrong stuff. Man, that guy's passionate. Don't rush too fast to make sure that like, oh, that's a great thing. Maybe it's not. Like, it's really passionate. You can be passionate about the wrong stuff. Passion is really common. Perseverance is rare. I can have all the passion in the world to climb the mountain. I love it. Snow Peak Mountain is beautiful. But if I don't have perseverance, I'll never get there. I could be really enthusiastic with my friends. Yeah, get the snowshoes ready. Strap them up. But if I don't have endurance, I'll never see the sights that they might see if they do have endurance. And we would say about those things, they're true. P.S., they are true, and that's really great. The problem is we're living in a culture and we're living in a time where most people are looking for the path of least resistance. Most people are looking for the path of least, that says, okay, this way, that looks hard. Nah. This way, this looks easy. Sign me up. But if this gets hard, nah. We want the path of least resistance, and sometimes what happens is we run from anything that's uncomfortable. We run from anything that's inconvenient, but can I tell you this? Oftentimes, God is right in the middle of the uncomfortable. Oftentimes, God is right in the middle waiting for you on the other side of inconvenient. That if you will endure, if you will persevere, if you will go through it, there he is going, you made it. You made it. So I want to have endurance. I want to have perseverance. I want to be the kind of guy that like makes it long, long, long term. But sometimes what we do is we turn back halfway up the mountain. I'll serve for a little while and you sign up. It's a 6-month, whatever, however long you decide. And then halfway up the mountain, you're like, I don't know. I'm tired. And then we stop or we commit to give for a while. And then we just like, I don't know. And we don't. Or, I'm going to meet with these people, and then it just falls apart. We stop sometimes halfway up the mountain, but the people who actually keep going, those are the people that get to see the sights from the top that no one else gets to see.
Those are the churches. Those are the faith communities that actually get to go to the very top and to see the sights for themselves. What sights, you might be asking? The sights I talked about earlier, about being at the baptism where someone's getting their, you know, their life has been totally radically changed, and you don't have to just be an onlooker and go, well, that's really nice, and you hear the story. You actually get to be a part of the story. Those are the sights I want. Those are the sights and sounds I want to see as I climb the mountain with God. That you won't have to read someday, or maybe it wouldn't even happen in your generation because you didn't do anything about it, that Rapids and Port were all completely changed and the Lord showed up in a mighty way and it was just radically transformed. But instead of that being someday somewhere down the road before Jesus comes back, that could be right here, right now. And your name can be attached to that. In our community, we're going to make sure that I'm going to make sure my name gets to be attached to some people who are making decisions for Christ. That New Life Church, which is the church I pastor, would be connected to that we're not going to wait for someday someone else. It's us. It's you. And they're waiting for you. God's waiting for you. Be a part of the movement. Rather than just reading it in some other place or seeing a picture someone else took, see it with your own eyes. And you won't if you don't have endurance and perseverance. Sometimes we're really good at sprinting. That's what my thing was. My thing, I could go 100 yards really, really, really fast. And then that 101st yard, I was like, yeah, we're good. We're done. I'd probably be the first one on this building if I had to be. But then after that, I'm laying out on the driveway or whatever. I'm just passed out. That's it. Sometimes we're really, really good at sprinting for just a short time, but this journey with God, this rescue mission, this movement thing that you guys have been talking about is actually a lifelong pursuit. It's actually a long-term thing. It's actually like from now until the end kind of thing. From now until I take my very last breath kind of thing. It's a marathon. It's been said before, and I don't know who really, and I don't think anyone really knows who said this. I was searching for this. It might have been Churchill, might have been somebody else, but this might be important for you to know as we're talking about perseverance. If you're going through hell, by all means, keep on going. This is no place for you to stop, is the gist of the phrase, right? If you're going through hell, which is where so many people stop, things get hard and they just stop and they're like, oh, this is terrible, I hate this, I can't believe I'm here. And they just stop there. And I would look, shake you, and I'm a little bit aggressive, I don't know if you can tell. I would shake you, be like, you're going through hell, then don't stop. Don't stop, keep going. Said that at our church last week, actually, and I got a report just yesterday that there was a young man that showed up that was considering killing himself. And when he heard those words, he said, all right, I'll keep going. If you're going through hell, will you just please keep going? Just keep taking the next step. Don't give up. Hebrews 10, verse 36 says this. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, sometimes we forget this, in just a little while, he who is coming, Jesus, he who is coming will come and will not delay. I just wonder, ask yourself, do I truly believe that? That when Jesus says he's coming back, do I really think he is? And then if I do, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for me? Because I think sometimes we're all about Jesus coming back on Sunday, right? Can we just be real? Like this, I think you guys are cool with being transparent. I am, so you don't have to deal with me for a minute or two. I think on Sundays we're really good at, Jesus is coming back. Yeah, the Bible says he is, and I believe it, and whatever. And then all of a sudden, Monday, we forget. All of a sudden, Thursday comes, it's way off in the past, and we're like, oh, yeah, I think so. And then Sunday comes again, and we're like, yes, he's coming back. Can I just tell you, a promise from God is a promise that will be kept. He's the promise maker. He's the promise keeper. If he said it's going to happen, guarantee it's going to happen. He said Jesus was coming in the first place, and people forgot about that too. And then all of a sudden there was an announcement, wasn't there? And a virgin all of a sudden got a little belly on her. And Jesus showed up. He is coming back. And it says, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith, you and me. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Are you a part of those who would shrink back and stop halfway up the mountain, stop halfway up the climb because it's hard? Or are you of those who will persevere? Are you of those who will endure? The writer of Hebrews is telling us we need to have faith. We need to persevere. We cannot shrink back because the one who is coming will come. So then directly after this in Hebrews 10, it goes to Hebrews 11. It's really famous. And it's famous because it's like God shining the spotlight on a whole bunch of people that endured. A whole bunch of people that had perseverance. And he's going, look at this one, and look at that one, and look at that one. And make sure you see that one and read about that one. And he talks about Abel and Enoch and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab and Gideon and David and Samson, a whole bunch of other ones. And then he gets to the end of their chapter, and it's like, and then there were others who gave their very lives, who were sawn in half. And you're reading it, you're like, whoa, if that's your first time reading it, you're like, yeah. And then it says this about those who persevered. The world was not worthy of them. And there's a special place for those who endure, persevere. You know, every one of them, if you read through their stories, every single one of them faced hardship and an uphill climb. Every one of them. It wasn't an easy road for any of them. But they believed. And then it says this. After this amazing chapter, Hebrews 12 kicks off with this word, therefore. Therefore. So all of these spotlight. Look at that one. Look at that one. Look at that one. Look at that one. And then it says, therefore. And now he's about to talk to you and me. And he's about to go, hey, here's what this means. Here's what you need to do. Here's where I'm talking directly to you. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, that when you're tired, you need to find a place to focus. When you're drained, when you're weary, when you're tired, you need to find a focus point. Your focus point should be Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, what? He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Two questions real quick. Number one, something for you to think about. What is it that weighs you down? As you're climbing, as you're embracing the adventure, or at least trying to figure out, am I going to embrace the adventure? What is it that weighs you down? What are the things that weigh you down? A couple friends of mine, and now you know I'm not a climber, I'm not a runner, and I make stupid decisions. So, a couple years ago, some friends of mine decided, hey, let's do a Tough Mudder. And this was a really bad idea. And so, of course, we're like, yeah, let's do it. It'd be great. Tough Mudder, and if you've been to the men's conference, the district conference, you may have heard me talk a little bit about this, but Tough Mudder is like over 12 miles, typically, of crawling through mud, running around, all muddy and messed up, climbing things, swinging on things, jumping off things, running through fire, going underneath ice water, getting electrocuted, and it's like the most amazing time you'll ever have. And so we decided, let's run this 12-plus mile thing. This will be a lot of fun, and we'll bond, right? I'm going, all right, I'm all about it. Let's do it. Well, my previous record was 3 miles. Ever in my life. We all ran the mile probably in school. So I did that. It was required. So I'm like, all right, let's run the mile. 3 miles. So I ran like one time in training for this 12-mile gig. And I got about 3 miles, and I felt good about myself. I'm like, all right, it's okay. It's my new record, 3 miles. So we're on our way to the Tough Mudder event. And I got like a pretty strong will. But what we did was we decided, hey, we got to fuel up. Like, we got to get something to eat. So we stopped at a truck stop. Of course we would, right? And they just happened to have a special that day. It was the meat lover's skillet. And my weakness is bacon, Matt. It's my weakness. If bacon is available, I am eating bacon. And so I crush the meat lover's skillet. And we're kind of all looking at each other and looking at me like, hey, dude, bro, this might be a mistake. I got it, guys. Are you kidding? It's bacon. So I gobble this whole thing up, and we get to the event. We start running. Mile one, cool. Mile two, great. Mile three, still going. Mile four, and I'm like, it's a new record. It's a miracle. There is a God, you know, whatever. And so mile five, I'm still going. I'm just blown away. Mile six, I'm still running. Mile seven, still at it. Mile eight, done. My body said no so hard. No! And I'm like, oh, I cramped everywhere. First it was this leg, boom! And I'm like, whoa! Then it, like 2 minutes later it was this one, boom! I'm like, ah! So now I'm kind of like running like this. I'm like, guys! And I got 4 miles to go. I got 4 miles to go, and I'm not a quitter. Now I'm in trouble. I got my guys, they're praying for me. Hey, pastor, it's going to be, people are running past us. Dear Jesus, you know, help them out. I'm stuffing bananas in my face faster than you. And I'm like, oh, I got to. And we just kept going. And eventually we finished. But you would look at me and go, why would you ever eat that on a day like that? You're crazy. And I would look back at you today and say, hey, I wonder what you're feeding yourself. I wonder what you're feeding yourself. What are you feeding your soul? Because P.S., you're racing a race. You're running a race. You're on an adventure. What are you feeding your soul? Are you feeding yourself meat lover skillet? And then wondering, why am I cramping up? Why am I so tired? Why is this so hard? Stop eating meat lover skillet, bro. Who are you listening to? Who are you talking to? What are you allowing to reach into your heart? What kind of words? What kind of things are you watching? What kind of stuff are you filling yourself with? If you'll fill yourself with some healthy things, you can have some healthy results. If you fill yourself with meat lover skillet, it will taste good in the moment, and then you'll pay for it later. So what are you feeding yourself? It's a big question, isn't it? Number two, what is it that would try to take you out? I did finish that race, by the way. I got massively electrocuted, and I finished. So it was great. But what is it? What is it that would try to take you out? What is it that would try to take you off the mountain as you climb? What are the things that would try to creep themselves in to try to pull you off or make you too tired to take another step? One of the main goals of a relationship with Christ and walking this journey is faithfulness. It's one of our goals. And it should be, it's God's goal for us, but it should be our goal too, back to God, to go, at the end of the day, I want to stand before the Lord, just like any other, like, believer would want to stand before the Lord and hear him say back to us, well done, my good and faithful servant, well done. Well done. Man, that would be such a moment to be able to hear that. And I don't want to stop short of that because I get tired. I don't want to stop short of that because it gets hard. I don't want to stop short of that because it's inconvenient or because it's uncomfortable. I want to be in that moment. And not for my glory at all. Check your motives. I want it to be for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Well done. Do you know what could happen? Do you have any idea what could happen in your community if we all had that goal? If we all decided we're going to endure, we're going to persevere, and we're going to stand before the Lord one day and hear those words. You don't have any clue what would happen in this church. You don't know what would happen in Rapids. You don't know what would happen in Port Edward. You don't know what would happen. And your reach is going to be further than you even get. You don't even know it. Jeff, I don't think you even know it, which is exciting. That's where I'm living too. I don't think I even know it. But whatever faithfulness to God means, it'll take you on an adventure of a lifetime. So will you do that? Will you be that? Or will you stop short? We're going to begin to wrap up. I want to tell you a quick story. There's this ultra marathon that used to be run. I don't know if it's run anymore. It's ultra marathon. It used to be run in Australia. And it was from Sydney to Melbourne. And so ultra marathon is for the crazies, right? Like they go really, really, really far. And the distance here is 544 miles. 544 miles of running. I will not be signing up for that. Thank you. And in 1983, so what happens is there's all these people who they're in their, you know, 20s, maybe 30s, and they show up and they're all like trained, ready. They got their spandex on. It's time to go. Like, this is great. And in 1983, as they were getting ready to start the race, this guy named Cliff Young shows up. A 61-year-old potato farmer. And he comes rolling in. They're getting ready to, you know, shoot the gun and whatever, and they're all going to run. And he, from what I heard, shows up in rain boots and a rain jacket because he thought it was going to rain. And then they asked him the questions. Hey, what are you doing here, man? Come to watch the race? No, I came to run the race. Ha! Really? You're going to run the race? Yeah. What makes you think that you're going to be able to run this race? Well, we had a 2,000-acre farm, and we had some sheep, and when I had to go round them up, I would just run, and I could run for a couple days, and I'd just run around and grab the sheep and get them back, and that was my life, so I think I'm good. All right, old man. Not to say if you're 61, you're an old man, but just, hey, whatever. This is a picture of Cliff. Cliff Young. So what happened was, 1983, they shoot the gun, right? And boom, and everyone starts running, and a whole bunch of people just take off. And there's Cliff. They've got a name for this in Australia. He's famous over there. They call it the Cliff Young Shuffle. And so there's Cliff, and everyone's gone, and then Cliff, he's just running. Cliff is just going to keep on going. And so what he didn't know is that this is how it worked. The runners would run for 18 hours, and then they would sleep for 6 hours. And then they would get up the next day and they would run for about 18 more hours. And then they would stop and they would rest and sleep for 6 hours. They were so far ahead of Cliff, and Cliff didn't know the rules. And so by the time Cliff got to where everyone was sleeping, he didn't realize that they were, you know, he just kept running. He just kept on going. And he passed everybody. Right? He passed everybody. And they're all sleeping and they're all whatever. And it's not like he was going fast, but he just wouldn't stop. So the first night, he just keeps running. Second night, Cliff just keeps on running. Third night, Cliff, he's still running. Fourth night, Cliff just keeps on running. No one knows really where he is, like back in the pack, because he's so far ahead of everybody else. At 61 years old in 1983, Cliff Young slaughtered the old record by almost 2 days. Now you know you're not in church to hear about Cliff Young. But let him inspire you. Just keep putting one foot in front of the next. Just keep doing the shuffle. If that's what you got to do, if you're not in a sprinting mode, sometimes we sprint, sometimes we jog, sometimes we're doing the shuffle, but man, just keep on moving. A movement keeps on moving. Just keep on moving. Don't stop. Don't quit. Keep climbing. How do we keep going? What do we need? Simple. Some of us, we just have to get started. Because you're going, man, I don't get this. All this stuff about being tired. I'm not tired. It's because you're not going anywhere. It's because you're not moving. Okay? We love you. Love you enough to tell you, hey, come on, let's move together. Let's go. Right? Get involved. Get engaged. Find someone around here and go, I want to be a part of the team. I want to help out. I want to be a greeter. I want to, whatever it is. Get involved. Get engaged. Others of us, we need to cast off the sin that so easily entangles us. You're climbing, but you got so many weights on you, you just keep tripping and you're frustrated. It's that old thing that keeps coming back. It's the habit that I can't break. It's the thing. I had plenty of stuff that was meant to trip me up and to stop me, but guess what? We left it behind. You know how much energy it sucks from your life to have to carry sin with you all the time? That's heavy. Just put it down. Drop it. Put it down at the feet of Jesus today. And walk away from it. It's worth it. Hear me. It's worth it. What's that secret thing that you just can't shake? Shake it. Get help for it. You might have to allow it to not be a secret. You might have to tell someone, but leave it behind. It's worth it. Others of us, what we need is a second wind. Those of you who've been in ministry for a while or serving or doing whatever, you need a second wind today. And let me say this as the worship team comes up. We're going to sing in just a few moments. By the way, as they do that, would you all just stand with me as we get ready to close? If you're able to, just kind of stand where you are as they get in place. Let me share something with you real quick. We're talking about wind. We're talking about this idea of second wind. We're talking about endurance. We're talking about perseverance. We're talking about faithfulness, right? As you read the Bible, there's this amazing thing that happens. There's this first wind that happens where God speaks. He speaks like words come from God's mouth and everything is formed. He speaks the world into existence, right? By his breath, by his words. And then he breathes into a person and he calls him Adam. First wind. Adam sucks air for the first time and we have life. And then years and years and years and years go by. Read your Bible. There's all kinds of crazy stuff that happens. This is a vicious cycle of sin and redemption and all this stuff. And then Jesus shows up. Shows us, teaches us, loves us, cares for us, does miracles, does all this amazing stuff, and shows us how to climb the mountain. Shows us how to be faithful. Shows us how to endure. Shows us how to persevere. Goes to the cross for you and for me. Dies. Comes back to life 3 days later, up out of the grave. And then he tells his followers, like you and me, he goes, hey, I want you to wait here for a little bit. I'm heading out. Need you to wait here for a little bit. Because there's a wind coming. There's a wind coming. It's going to fill you. And then you're going to go out and be my witnesses to all the world. There's going to be a movement. But before the movement moves, let the wind come. And then all of a sudden in Acts chapter 2, they're sitting there in this upper room. And they're praying and they're worshiping. They're just kind of waiting on God. All of a sudden, God breathes again. He breathes on them. Breathes into their heart. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're filled with this second wind. And all of a sudden, they go from that place, and the church is born. And it's part of the reason we're here today. It's part of the reason that my church is meeting today. Part of the reason that we have heard about the hope of Jesus is because some people had a second wind. Maybe, just maybe, you need that second wind. Fix your eyes on Jesus. We're about to sing a song. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Would you close your eyes just for a moment and picture him? Picture, everyone might have a little bit different picture in their mind, but try and picture Jesus in your mind's eye. Looking at him and wondering, if you're tired, what would he do? If you're weary, what would he do? If you feel at the end of yourself, what would he do? If you're feeling frustrated, what would he do? Fix your eyes on Jesus, the one who endured to the end, who faced temptation and endured. He was misunderstood and he endured. When people left him, he endured. When they conspired to kill him, he endured. When he was betrayed, he endured. When Pilate turned him over to the crowd, he endured. When he was tied to the whipping post for you and for me, he endured. When they placed a crown of thorns on his head, he endured. When they pounded nails through his flesh for you and me, he endured. When he was mocked and ridiculed, he endured. When all the forces of hell came against him, Jesus endured for you and for me, and so can you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would fill your people with courage, with strength, with encouragement, with endurance, with perseverance. Help us be found faithful in your eyes. Help us to live a life of worship to you that blesses you and honors you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.